I'm like a ship that's lost, can't navigate. Can't find my favorite passage on the page. So we thought for a minute, took a long look. Then that dude invented the book. And you can do it too, your mind's free. Just think what two kids require and need. What you just heard isn't a show from some new underground San Francisco rap group. It's not a single from Will Smith's comeback album or the soundtrack to Step Up 4. Nope, this was recorded in Oakland at Elmhurst Community Prep Middle School. And this isn't just any classroom, it's a special education classroom. You're listening to a song chock full of this week's vocabulary words. Tell me that's not cool. No. 10% of all California students are in some kind of special ed program. This week, we're looking at how they get their education. KALW's Christine Stolakas joined a special ed teacher in East Oakland who, after finishing her flowcabulary lesson, of course, shared her story.
Stevie Evans has been a special education teacher for 4 years.
I feel like when I first started this job, I was just thrown into the lion's den. They're just like, all right. I mean, I came into teaching through Teach for America, and they really prepare you well for teaching. For a special day class, I don't know if anyone could prepare you for that. I mean, that is just a different ballgame. I just remember going in there and feeling like I had to survive. It was like a matter of me surviving. So it was like, how do I survive? Like, how do I get, you know, the kids to be able to learn?
We're at Elmhurst Community Prep, a small middle school in East Oakland.
Teachers, you wear a different hat all the time. You're, you know, one day you're a teacher. You're a psychologist. You're a police officer. You're a mom. You're a nurse, you're a social worker, you're just like, that's just part of the job.
All right, Trayvon, Johnny, Isaiah, Raheem, Michaela, read them together on three, okay? When I point to them, okay?
I want to do it by myself.
One, two, three.
Navigate. Require.
Kids come to special education for really diverse reasons. Their challenges can range from autism to severe emotional disturbances. Just within Stevie's class, she has kids with ADHD, auditory and processing deficits, and intellectual disability.
We're like this little dysfunctional family, and sometimes we get along great.
But like I've got kids who don't have phonemic awareness, which is something you develop in kindergarten. And then I have kids who can read fluently with ease. You know, and at like a fifth grade or a sixth grade text. So they're on radically different reading levels. So I am not going to teach them the same thing, period.
What these kids do have in common is that general education does not quite work for them. And Stevie sees her purpose as leveling the playing field, not just for these kids during school, but for their lives in general.
When I think about how do we change things and how do we empower people and how do we get rid of poverty, I mean, I see education as being number one. Every day I see the work that I do as part of a larger scheme. And although I'm not at the top down, I'm, you know, at the bottom and I love it. Like that's where you got to roll up your sleeves and just get it done. So I see it as part of a larger equation. I'm just one of the important pieces, you know.
Getting this done on a day-to-day can be hard. Special day classes have kids of all ages. Stevie's range from 11 to 15 years old. And on top of this, she's also teaching content from all subjects, content usually taught by five or more different middle school teachers. This changes the nature of Stevie's teaching entirely.
When you hear the word in the video, what are you going to do? Who wants to put their arms up?
Nobody.
Okay, put their arms up. Who wants to pat on the desk?
Nobody.
A huge part of my job is all social, emotional, behavioral. I can't just focus on the academics. It's not what the job entails, you know? It's all encompassing.
And it can produce a chaotic classroom.
Ms. Evans, did nobody tell me that we were going to go on the field trip with the seventh graders? Who? The seventh graders.
Who?
The seventh graders.
Go to your center.
Stevie isn't alone in all of this. Special needs teachers often have assistants throughout the day. Here, it's Sherry Jackson. She grew up in the neighborhood around Elmhurst.
I graduated from this school. My whole family didn't grab my kids. Everybody. It's a pretty rough neighborhood.
It's not that there isn't a lot of community here, she says, but there is violence.
You know, the shooting, it's a lot of that that goes around here. The car racing that goes up and down the street. It's just a lot of nonsense, really.
Last year, Oakland's homicide rate was the highest it's been since 2006, more than 130 murders. 18 of those occurred within a mile of Elmhurst Community Prep. Two occurred within a block of this school of 352 kids.
They might be explosive one day, and I'm like, they're just a hot mess. And then I talk to them, and it's like, well, my uncle got shot yesterday. I'm mad.
And Stevie's class reflects other issues that exist outside of Elmhurst's walls.
My school now, it's about 70% Latino, 30% African-American. But in my class, it's well over 90% African-American boys. I mean, there's something wrong with that.
The makeup of Stevie's class is a stark example of a national reality. Black children are more than twice as likely to be identified as having a disability as white students, and they're more than three times more likely than all other students to be classified as having mental retardation. This pattern has been observed for decades.
It's not that black boys are just prone to have learning disabilities or dumber than other races. It's like, that's ludicrous. We've already proven that that's not what it is. So what is it then? It's something that's institutionalized and so systematized that people don't see it.
This problem has been discussed by groups ranging from the U.S. Department of Education to the NAACP. In fact, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act now includes a provision which allows the federal government to monitor and manage this over-identification of minority students in special ed. Stevie thinks it's not enough.
You know, it's like, you know that there's injustices in our society, but then you get in someplace that just highlights all of it, and you're just like, whoa.
You might think all these big picture challenges stemming from outside the classroom would encourage these kids to be nice to each other inside. That's not the case. These kids are made fun of a lot outside of class, perhaps for one kid's stutter or how another's eyes look because of fetal alcohol syndrome. As Stevie explains to me, and I see during her class, when these kids are bullied so much, they often become bullies to one another.
Please don't leave.
I don't care. I just don't care. I don't bother with no little boy like you.
That's just a big part of my job that I didn't really see coming.
Well, I need to buy back. I want you to tell me what to do with yourself.
To deal with all of this, Stevie employs two things, a lot of humor and a lot of structure. So while at first she jokes about the rules of her vocabulary exercise...
Who wants to get a dollar for it? Ooh. Okay, no, I'm just joking.
No, you're not.
That's not going to happen. All right.
She then starts hyper-organizing every piece of the kids' day.
This is reading centers. This group is working on, like, decoding and fluency. Those other two groups are working on comprehension.
The day is a constant stream of seating assignments, teams, and exercises. There is absolutely no downtime. Just high expectations. Even the act of saying good job is turned into something she refers to as a positive reinforcement structure. When the class does something good, like sitting in their seats quietly during a transition, she starts placing individual marbles into a jar.
25, right here. If you don't know one of those words, ask me now, because we're about to play a game.
You have to have a really well-structured environment in order to meet all their needs. It's amazing because the kids really thrive when there's structure, when there's things that they can count on, when it's really consistent and predictable. It lowers their anxiety. And for kids who have a lot of anxiety for whatever reason, it makes things go a lot smoother when they know exactly what to expect.
Me giving points, but during this time you can earn points or lose points. Go ahead and close your eyes. This is your time to relax your mind.
Even though Stevie got into this work to fight for social justice, she plans to continue teaching for the rest of her life because of a newer passion, her love for her kids.
And take your first really deep breath in. Breathe in.
In East Oakland, I'm Christine Stelakis for Cross Currents.
And breathe out.